Hey everyone, this is Zach from Sorry Scout, and I want to talk to you about our Rock for Tots show coming up on January 11th at the Ready Room. We'll be playing with Whiskey and Thunder, as well as Space Trucker, to raise money for Play It Forward. Play It Forward is a St. Louis-based program whose mission is to ensure each child in St. Louis is provided with the opportunity to discover their musical talents through musical instrument donations, contributions to local school music departments, and local promotion of youth music arts via shows and events. Tickets are on sale now and will be available at the door for $12. However, if you donate a musical instrument at the door, your admission is free. Hope to see you there.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here. I got a couple of things I want to tell you about happening January 14th, kicking off 2020 in style. We got another edition of our singer-songwriter storytelling showcase out at Naked Vine. Again, January 14th, Tuesday night, 7 o'clock start, $10 at the door. And on stage will be Ethan Jones, Lisa Houdet, and Chris Curd. Do not miss this show. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. If you haven't been out there yet, these are a really good time. You can bring your own food in. You can. We got plenty of wine, whiskey, tequila, and local craft beers for you. So join us at Naked Vine on January 14th. But you can stop by Naked Vine anytime. You can find them online at nakedvine.net. A lot of good stuff coming up on... Thursday, December 19th, Phil and Carson of the Scandaleros will be out there. Friday, December 20th, John Bonham and Friends. And Saturday, December 21st, Scrambled will be taking the stage. All that nakedvine.net and Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Get plugged in and come out there and see what it's all about. It's a true hidden gem out there in Chesterfield, Missouri. A lot of good times out there, so come on, check it out. Also want to say a quick thank you to Heil Sound. I'm recording this intro today on my Heil microphone, and I've been loving their products. And I think you will too, so check it out, heilsound.com. Also, big thank you to Roughneck Beard Company, my latest sponsor. So happy to have these guys apart. That's a Roughneck Beard Company and American Rambler. You can find both of their products located in the Roughneck Beard Company shop right there in Maplewood on Manchester. So swing by and visit them, or you can shop 24/7 at roughneckbeardcompany.com. Be sure to enter my promo code RPP15 for an exclusive 15% off during your checkout online. So, swing by, visit them, tell them Shane sent you. They've got all kinds of cool stuff out there for anybody. But if you got a bearded guy in your life and you want to surprise them with some gifts, maybe make some nice stocking stuffers, throw in some beard oils. We're got a lot of great balms and all kinds of different things. Whatever you might need. For your personal grooming, you can check it out there at Roughneck Beard Company and American Rambler. I've been using products myself. I love it. They got like some stuff like beard oils infused with CBD products and coffee. So I mean, if you're into whatever you're into, they might be able to take care of you out there. So check it out. Go visit Brad out there and tell him Shane sent you. But that's it for me, everybody. Thank you again for tuning in. If you would like to reach out and say hi or let me know what you've been listening to, I would love to hear from you. You can reach me on my email at rockpaperpodcast@gmail.com. Feel free to say hey. Also, if you're interested in a shirt, hat, or anything, buttons or stickers, I got all kinds of things. So let me know. Anyway, thanks for listening. Kick back, relax, and enjoy. Have a great day, everybody.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense? Uh-huh. Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
This is Damon.
And this is Zach.
He listens to the Rock Paper Podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, baby.
Rock Paper Podcast.
This is beat paper. Paper covers rock. Rock beats is the Shane covers nonstop. Never know what new kind of guests that he's got coming at you. Live and direct on the spot. Could be rock, folk, country, or hip hop, jazz. All kind of folks that he has. Could be an artist or a comedian to make you laugh on the
Rock Paper Podcast.
Double decker fudge round rolling round town. Shane coming at you live and direct from ground zero. He's your hero, he's your bestie. Rock Paper Podcast with Shane Presley.
Paper Podcast.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, live from the Livery Company down on South Broadway with Hunter Hamilton. Yeah. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Well, thank you. It's good to be on it.
This is cool, man. I start a lot of these this way. Anybody that's been following along, I mean, they probably hear me say it hundreds of times now, but what I love about doing this show is it continually introduces me to new artists or new to me artists doing things in our city, and that's the case again today. This is our first time really hanging out. We just I think we've been Facebook friends for a while. We properly met at Old Rock House.
Yeah, at Old Rock House for that for your mom's benefit show.
Yeah,
and yeah, then, that was a great show. I really enjoyed it.
We talked a bit at Old Rock House again at the Fighting Side show and stuff, and like Old Capitol and Craig Gertis, and it was a good show.
Those are some good bands. I really enjoy them thoroughly.
With a Holiday Honky Tonk Hootenanny or something they called it.
Yeah.
But yeah, man. So we've been kind of crossing paths, but we never had a chance to sit and actually talk much. So that's what this show is good for. It allows me to get to pick your brain a little bit.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm really glad we finally got a chance to do it, you know.
Yeah, man. Well, so you're a name that's been I've been seeing up popping up a lot. I keep an eye on a lot of the calendars, and you've been very active playing around town a lot, and so that's usually how this goes. Is like I see people out there working, and I was like, well, I want to get to know what's going on here. So tell me, man, like, I guess, where does this all get going? Are you born and raised here in St. Louis? And
oh no, I was born and raised far from St. Louis. Yeah. Not that far. I was originally born in Oklahoma, out on the, you know, the plains, a couple of towns over from where Woody Guthrie was born.
Okay.
If you know him.
Sure.
Yeah, which is cool because like I didn't really get to know too much about Woody Guthrie until I moved down to St. Louis, and it was cool. He's been a great influence on me, you know, that kind of thing. But no, so I grew up, I moved down to Norman, Oklahoma eventually and went all, through elementary school and middle school and everything like that. And then my parents moved up to Colorado, Boulder, Colorado. So I moved up there as well and started high school up there. And that's when I really started playing music around, got together with a couple of bands, that kind of thing. And eventually formed my own band, and then I was hanging around there for quite a while, and then graduated or whatnot, spent a decent amount of time playing after, trying to like really figure out what I wanted to do, you know, with my whole life. I knew I wanted to do music or something like that, but and then somehow or another I found my way down to St. Louis. It was a good thing.
So the family's still in Colorado then, or?
Yeah, they are indeed. They're living up there doing that kind of thing. I moved down here because the band I was playing with, we were playing real heavy in Colorado, right? And it was the Hunter Hamilton group. It had a different lineup than it does now. But we were over there and we were running as a three-piece, drums, bass, and guitar, doing like Hendrix covers and things like that and trying to write some songs. And the summer before that, we got together a little album. We went in and like finally got some money, and we cut the record, and it was cool. We did it mostly live, 10 hours or something like that. We were on some heavy studio time, so we got it done, and it sounded pretty good. So we started sending it out, and I have a lot of family that's from St. Louis and everything like that. My dad grew up down in southern Missouri, so I had a lot of connections up here. And I was trying to, like, you know, tour around this area and not just in Colorado and everything. So we got a little tour together and used some of those connections and came down to St. Louis. And, oh, we played, like, a good week's worth of shows down here. Mm-hmm. And I already knew I wanted to move out of Colorado. It just, I had been there too long, you know, and played all the places I wanted to play. And it was like a scene, but not anything like St. Louis is.
Yeah.
Yeah, and as soon as I got down here and started, like, you know, going around, like, listening to the other acts, I went back and I was like, well, I guess I got to move down to St. Louis. You know, it was really weird to me. It was like there's no other option to do that, you know?
Right.
Yeah, so...
So how long has that been now?
It's been a year, maybe.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't been down here for that long. I just fell in with, like, some real good people that are playing all around. Yeah, came down here, was only playing acoustic and stuff like that, hadn't quite got the band together yet, and was playing a bunch of Donovan songs, Dylan songs, and there's a lot of people that are good fans of those people around here. So I met people like Drew Schaefer and the LS Express Cats.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, and started showing up to their gigs and everything, and they were, like, helping me out, letting me jump up and play in between the set breaks, you know, get my foot in the door. And, yeah, after that, I fell in love with it, you know?
Very cool, man. You, did your family play, or?
Yeah, so my dad is actually a classical piano player, right?
All right.
That's what he has his degree in, and he actually works in retail nowadays, but all throughout, like, growing up, he started playing at 4 or something like that, and was touring, like, all around this area, you know, doing classical music gigs, playing at all these churches, and then he stopped at, like, late 20s or 30. I guess he just got burned out on it or something like that. That happens. Mm-hmm. But so all growing up, yeah, I was always, like, pressed real hard to learn how to play piano or something like that. But in my mind, I didn't want to do that, you know? It was like, oh, man, I'm not going to be as good as you are or anything on that. So
sure.
I might as well, you know, figure something else out. And it was like I was pressed with a lot of classical music, which I really like, you know, even to this day. It broadens the mind a little bit, you know. It's one of those you can hear. There's nothing like hearing a full orchestra sound, even compared to, like, a rock and roll band. But that's kind of how I got, like, really introduced to music, having to go to classical music concerts when I was a little kid, you know, and sitting in the pit and stuff like that.
I went to for my birthday a couple of years ago. I went to see Amos Lee at the Powell Symphony Hall.
Oh, very cool!
And he's one of my absolute favorite writers. And he came out and, like, his first set, he did, like, a handful of them, just him solo acoustic. And then the band joined him, you know, drummer, bass, and guitar player, I think. And then they played that way. And then they took a break. And then they came out back with the full orchestra and played a bunch of the songs. And I was just like, this is amazing, man.
That's incredible. Yeah. Isn't it just so cool when you, like, hear a full orchestra when it hits you?
It's, yeah. I mean, and then, you know, there are obviously songs you love, but it's like, it's totally different hearing such a huge sound with it and stuff. But it was really something special. And I splurged and got myself front row seats for that night and for my birthday. And it was a good one, man.
Yeah. I had a grand old night, that kind of thing. Yeah. That's so very cool. But, no, I didn't start playing guitar, really, because that's what I played primarily. I didn't start playing that till I was about 10 or 11 or something like that. I started taking up guitar lessons because I definitely didn't want to play piano. And like we were talking about earlier, I tried to play violin for a little bit, and I don't know, I could never not get it to squeak. So I was like, I got to play an instrument that's lower, you know? I don't like that sound. And I started taking guitar lessons from this guy his name was Ian Gill. He was a great, like, you know, songwriter, country singer, jazz guitar player. You could do all of it. And I had an old guitar, you know, that I didn't know how to tune or anything like that, and started taking lessons from him. And then, I don't know, I got kind of disinterested, you know, my fingers were hurting, that kind of thing, as it happens. And then I heard, he gave me an album. It was, you know, Hendrix's Are You Experienced?
Yeah.
And I put that on, and, like, of course, like, I'd listened to rock and roll and stuff, but man, I tell you what, I must have listened to that album 5 times front to back, just sitting, you know, in my bedroom listening to it. And the noises were like nothing I'd ever heard before. So right after that, went back in and, I don't know, been practicing ever since, you know, chasing that.
I feel like there's something, I said something about it online the other day, because Because I felt like that kind of way. Like sometimes songs just find you, you know. Like it sounds kind of a little corny, but I feel that way. Like sometimes you know, even a song you may have heard several times, and then all of a sudden you really like listen to it, and then it's like it just like speaks to you, you know, or a record or whatever it is, whatever that particular thing is, and all of a sudden you're at the right time when you needed to hear it, and everything kind of clicks and falls into place, and like. I feel that way a lot with the music sometimes. Sometimes I'll listen to something and I just don't get it. For me in particular, there was the scenario that I referenced when I talked about it online the other day. It was Tyler Childers. At first I didn't really get his stuff. I thought he was all right. I didn't really, his voice kind of bothered me at first. And then... But then as I deep dived in and kept listening, you know, everybody kept talking about him. I'm like, maybe I'm missing something here. And I went and listened more, and I started looking into his lyrics, and I started like listening to what he's actually singing about. And like, that's when I started to really become a fan. And then there's a song in particular, Follow Me to Virgie, that I like really, really connected with big time. And like, especially with my mom, when my mom was sick and stuff, like I was like right when, what I was going through listening to that song in particular. I feel like it just like it caught me at the right time when I needed it, and then like I just really resonated with what he was singing. And so I imagine, you know, long story there, but like imagine like hearing Hendrix at that time,
yeah,
as a young guitar player, like hearing that, like, man, this is awesome.
Yeah, throughout my life there's definitely been a bunch of those moments, you know, to where you can read a book, you can watch a movie, and like, I don't know, I love literature and poetry especially, and like, I don't know, that's what I strive from, but there's nothing like when you hear a song and it hits you perfect, you know, and like the writer of the song has, you know, really like given you his heart, you know, and it may not hit you at all right, you know, until it does, and when it does, it's so prolifically impactful that it almost shatters your world a little bit, and that's why music really lured me into. After playing it for a little bit, I knew that I had to be a musician. I couldn't be anything else, because in my mind, I can't find anything more spiritual and like that really can hit you perfect. You know, I'm crazy about it. It's one of those things. But no, Tyler Childers, he's cool. His new record really took me by surprise.
Sure, yeah, man. I mean, they're all good. Like, I mean, I'm a big fan of what he's been. Like I said, took me a minute to kind of grow, but like finally, like I saw him live at the pageant last time he was here in town, and like I was he's a hell of a show. It's a good time, man. So
yeah, like, yeah, I still got to go see a show at the pageant. I haven't quite done that yet. Yeah,
there's all kinds of good stuff coming through there, man. So definitely keep an eye out for those.
Yeah, I absolutely will.
Yeah, but yeah, we So I guess you, somewhere in there listening to Hendrix, you start really getting into electric then, or?
Yeah, that's when my uncle had been a guitar player and everything, and unfortunately he like passed away when I was a bit younger, but my grandma had like all of these old, like, I don't know, you know, Les Pauls and everything like that. So every time I'd go over, you know, I'd like to play him, and she's like, well, you know, before I give you any of them, you got to actually learn how to play guitar, you know, that kind of thing. And for that Christmas, I was going into a lesson, and I had to go to school, right? So my mom grabbed my guitar and threw it in her car, because she was going to take it to where I was having my lesson when she picked me up. And I had a soft case. By the way, soft cases and acoustic guitars, bad news.
All right.
Yeah, and I remember getting picked up from school. I was real excited. I'd been practicing all night, you know. I think I had just learned all the parts to Hey Joe or something like that. And I grabbed my guitar, and I was like, man, something doesn't feel right. So I opened it up, and sure enough, the headstock had broken off.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and that really shattered my world, man. I don't know, that was rough. But Christmas was right around the corner, so I got that Les Paul and everything like that. And that's when I started playing electric guitar, and that was a whole different game for me. And it really just changed my world, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I ended up moving up to Colorado, and that was when I stopped taking lessons. I just, you know, went around, like, if people were doing something that I really dug, I'd be like, hey, man, like, can you show me your tricks? Like, promise I'm not going to steal them, quote-unquote, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
But I fell in, when I got to Colorado, I fell in with a flamenco guitar player, actually, that – that I thought was real cool. And I had already, you know, growing up listening to classical music and stuff, I already had a sensibility towards that, to where it, like, I don't know, it sounded great in my ears. And so I started studying with him for a little bit, and he taught me, like, I don't know, some more like flamenco type of stuff and Spanish chords. And that was really something else. That's probably influenced my sound most of all, you know, at least like electric wise and stuff like that. It's not just like straight blues, you know, you throw some weird stuff in there, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was very cool. And then I don't know, I guess the next like real big musical thing was when I moved down to St. Louis. I was like into, you know, Bob Dylan, like in Joan Baez and all the people from like the Greenwich Village folk scene in the early 60s. And that was real cool to me. I'd like known about him. I worked in a record shop all throughout high school and like, you know, 2 years after or something like that. So I'd been like cleaning all their records, and I was like, well, I got him, you know, I'm moving down to St. Louis. I'm just going to take my guitar and whatever else I can, you know, carry and just do it, you know, really do the whole Rambler thing. And I came down here and I didn't really know too much about Dylan. And one of the books I brought with me was his like Chronicles, you know,
okay.
Which is like the story of his life. And he did kind of the same thing going into New York. And I was like, it was cool reading that, man, because I was like really feeling like it was a bad move to just like go, you know, that kind of thing, and not wait or anything. Just I was like, oh man, maybe I jumped the gun on this, maybe I should have waited a little bit, that kind of thing. And as soon as I started reading that, I connected so well with him that it was like, all right, this is more comforting. And then through him I found people like Donovan, who had done the same thing, who was living on beaches until he like went in to record an album and did that kind of stuff, and then eventually made it all the way back to Woody Guthrie, you know. And it was funny to me because it's like, man, I had to come a long way to find someone that is, you know, not far from home.
Sure.
Yeah, so that's... But
I think that's beautiful, though, man. Like, you know, there's something to be said about that, like, just taking a chance, you know. So many people are just scared, I think, to take to jump, you know, just to go do it. And, like, and the fact that, like, you know, you just grab the guitar and go and trying to figure it out, man.
Yeah, and it's something. I really love the whole... I don't know, to me in like society, one of the things that like messes with my mind is like preconceived notions about things or like people or anything that you haven't met, you know, or like, I don't know, political views or anything like that. I think that at least people wise, you know, you should really like judge them based on like what your interactions with them are, you know, that kind of thing. Everybody deserves like a chance, at least in my mind. And that was one of the things I found so cool. Like, I mean, I had already been playing around in Colorado forever, so I knew like all the like venues up there and like was playing the same gigs, you know, and the same people would show up, and it was fun. And it was like, I can't really go anywhere because Colorado is like 12 hours in any direction to get to like anything outside of Denver, that any other big city that you want to play in other than like Salt Lake City or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I already want to move down here because it was close to Nashville and Chicago. Sure. Yeah, it's like St. Louis is this beautiful point in between all of them. And
middle of the map.
Yeah, and then like it was so much fun, you know, coming into town, meeting all these new people who are all incredibly nice. This scene is so cool. But coming in and like the only thing, like, because nobody knows you, you know, so it's only what you are right in front of them, you know, and it's only what songs that you're playing. And like it's one of the more truer judges of character that I can find.
Right.
Yeah, it's weird.
What, as an outsider, you know, before you came to town, what was like your preconceived notions of St. Louis? Like, what do you know about, like, I mean, like Nelly or something? Like, I mean, that kind of stuff or whatever. Like, that's like all we were known for in music, really. Like, nobody really talked about a lot of the stuff. But
yeah, so being having a bunch of friends that in Colorado were like touring around and stuff like that, and I had a bunch of friends in Oklahoma as well that are full-time musicians, and yeah, and they like come through St. Louis a lot, Memphis, places like that. I'd only heard like good ramblings about it, you know, like whispers that like, oh man, St. Louis has like something pretty cool going on right now. It's like, it's a whole scene, you know. It's not like in Denver per se, where like there is a scene, but it's like very like split up, like there's factions, and here there's factions as well, but like there's like a real strong music community, and it's almost like, you know, Greenwich City Bohemia a little bit in some ways, especially down in Soulard and around there. And so coming in, I didn't expect anything, you know, and it was one of those I was like, well, St. Louis, like, it's not, like, known for music as much as, like, Nashville or Memphis or anything like that. But there have been a lot of cool people that have come from here. And it seems to me like there's a lot of gigs. So when I did come in and, like, found that there's actually a cool scene and, like, the players down here, for the most part, are, like, pretty solid players, you know? Yeah. And I can learn a lot just, like, hanging around. I was real happy. I thought it was very cool.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
That, I mean, that's what I've been saying for a long time. It's cool to hear you say that as somebody that's new here and stuff too. But when I started doing this show, that's really what the origin of it was. Like I had a couple of friends, you know, that I knew played, and like I thought I had a fair idea of St. Louis music.
Yeah.
And that's why I started it. But I quickly realized, man, there was like so much more out there I had no idea about. And the fact that I'm still doing this 5.5 years later and I'm meeting all kinds of new people all the time, like it's like why I keep doing it, man. So it's like it's fun to keep just hearing people's stories and stuff and getting to share their songs. I feel like I've been saying that for a long time, that there's something happening. Something's like, you know, St. Louis has been bubbling under for a while, and like it's just... So I feel like we keep getting closer and closer to being, you know, putting our spot on the map as a real music destination and stuff. So there's world-class players here that, you know, that do this for a living and tour the world and just aren't quite the household name yet, but I think it's happening, man.
And what I'm starting to realize, like, at least in the United States, there are very few places where you can go into and, like, I don't know, come in, like, and within a year, I don't know, like, be able to be a full-time musician, you know? I really love St. Louis because damn nearly every place has live music. It's one of those things. And everybody's playing it all the time. So, like you do with those, you know, reviews or whatnot, where you list everybody that's playing.
All right.
It's incredible. There are just so many people playing all the time that you can be like, all right, well, I'm going to go there and hang out and jam with these people, learn a couple of tricks. Mm-hmm. And I'm also going to go do this, and then I'll end the night doing this, or not maybe, then I'll go over to this. And then you can, like, hop around all these places on, like, a Monday night or something like that. And that's very far out to me. It's not just, like, gigging on the weekends or anything. It's doing it, like, full time and, like, really committing yourself to the music, which is something that I really enjoy.
Yeah, man. Well, we've been talking a bunch. Let's anybody that doesn't know much about Hunter Hamilton yet, let's drop in a song. This is you did play two live acoustic songs here, these are unreleased, brand new. You've been working on for a bit, but we're decided to call this one "I've Got Songs to Sing."
Yeah, it's about rambling into kind of a town. You know, it's very truthfully spoken. You know. I don't know, it's about the experiences that I've kind of lived this past year, so I wanted to throw that on there, you know?
Can't you see the lights are flashing? Can you feel the warm wind blow? Have you seen the world I'm seeing? Is it coming too slow? And the people I meet, they all just seem to go. It's been 500 miles of trying to not feel so all alone. I've got songs to sing, but I just want to go home. Dreams come to me when I lay my weary head. Fallen angels, they don't cry. Tomorrow. The streetlights don't show me the colors that I need to see. And the music I hear, it all sounds too fake to say a thing. And my mind wants to give, but it's not even been a year. Dreams come to me when I lay my weary head. Fallen angels, they don't cry as sweet as you. Doubt and sorrow don't fill my head till tomorrow. Of the storm, who could have adorned? No, seen the love that's disguised by your judgmental lies. She wanders around, never looking down, only above to see what is in store. And she waits behind the rose, a silver ring of promise no more. In my mind, it wants to go. I can still hear it all so, and I only know where it goes. I've got songs to sing, but I just want to go home.
I mean, you mentioned having a record from Colorado and stuff. Are you gearing up to record some of these songs that you're working on?
Or? I absolutely am. Yeah. So right now, we've been doing this whole Yard Eagle thing a little bit, and we went into the studio, and we've got some cool stuff going on the way, but I definitely am looking to get into the studio with the band I have now, which includes myself, my brother, Alex Hamilton, then Dan Turner on keyboards and Britton Wood on bass.
Nice.
It's a real solid band. We've been playing around for a little bit, and I really want to go in and cut, like, maybe even a little EP. I reckon that should be done. I'll try to get on that within the next month or two,
you know.
Get something cool coming out.
Did he move here with you, or did he come around after?
Yeah, he followed a bit after, that kind of thing. Yeah, because he's a drummer as well, you know, and we've always been just so very close, you know. And every gig, like, you know, that we play together, and he sings great harmony. So it was one of those things.
Is that, that's pretty good that you play guitar and he drums. Like, at least you guys aren't, you know, like,
yeah, that worked out pretty well, yeah. Huh?
Was that by design, or did just kind of, he naturally, attached to drums more? And
yeah, when we were little kids, I wasn't really into music, right? Mm-hmm. I played, football and things like that. And he was always one of those people that had, like, a natural ability to do it. And he would always, like, go up to drums and, like, just had this great sense of rhythm. And then I started playing, you know, real heavy. And then he was like, well, shit, if you're going to do it, I'm going to do it. Yeah. You know, that kind of thing. And then it just kind of formed like that, you know.
Yeah.
So it worked out pretty well, I think.
For sure, yeah, man. Well, I'm excited to hear what you guys have been working on. Like I said, this sounded really good today, and you know, it'd be interesting to hear the full band version of it as you guys take it to the studio and things.
Oh yeah, and those two songs that we recorded, that's more like acoustic type folk stuff, I guess. The full band stuff will be a little more rock and roll, you know, Tom Petty-esque type of stuff, but. But no, yeah, that's...
I love that kind of stuff. I just like the, you know, again, going back to even that Amos Lee story, like that, just kind of the evolution of a song, is it can start with just you and your guitar, or, you know, and you had your harmonica on there and stuff too, but like,
yeah.
You know, it starts with that, and then you build, and then it like becomes where it's, you know, this big arrangement with the band, and your electric guitars, and your, you know, solos and everything else, and it's just like, it's fun to hear those, you know, B-sides or different things, you know, the different arrangements that you, as it started as an idea, and then where it ends up going to when you take it to the studio and stuff as it comes to life and things. So
yeah, music's a blank picture waiting to be painted or something weird like that.
For sure, you know? I totally get it, man. Like, I really enjoy that process, and I enjoy like the journey that music takes me on too. When like you're talking about painting that picture, and like sometimes I can just hear a song and just my mind will start painting a scene, you know, or whatever it is. I start thinking like maybe a possible music video or whatever it is, and just like it's fun to see what other creativity that music inspires. And
yeah,
so
absolutely.
Do you get into any of that painting or anything? Do you do any other arts, or is it just music?
Painting. I love writing poetry, okay. And I'm a big literary nut. But as far as painting goes, man, I couldn't paint a picture to save my life. It's rough.
Can't do any of that stuff. I'm just a super fan. So, but
yeah, but poetry especially. Another great cat that I ran into when I first came into town was Dan Wright, who's a poet. You know, that you works go. At Dunaway and everything like that. And I had already been like real into William Blake and some other poets. And he's like, you know, have you heard about Rimbaud yet, or anyone like that, or Baudelaire, you know, these French poets? And I was like, yeah, like I kind of heard a little bit about them, you know, because back to the record store I worked at, that was also a bookstore. So eventually, like, I was like, all right, well, I got to just start reading and not wasting any time here. So I read a lot of poetry, and I'd been real into the beat stuff, but he turned me on to those guys, and it's rocked my world, to say the least. Yeah, but that's as far as my other artistical creations go, man.
That Dan Wright's a good dude. We had a fun time recording on the show a while back, and so yeah, shout out to Dan.
Yeah, shout out to Dan. We love you, brother.
Yeah, pick up some of his books and check those out. We got a bunch of opportunities to see Hunter live coming up. Let's start with December 21st. You can catch him at the Monocle, and this will be an evening for raising some funding and stuff for the less fortunate and things.
Yeah, for the homeless people around town, that kind of thing. I don't know. It's a good cause. We'll be sure to play real good for it, you know, one of those.
So, and Monocle's a cool room. I really like it back there in the Emerald Room there and stuff. But we'll have The Fighting Side and Caroline Steinkamp will be there.
Yeah, and a couple more I can't quite remember right now. But they'll be a good lineup on there. Yeah. It's going to be a grand old time. And all proceeds and everything go to the homeless, of course.
Yeah.
So show up.
Yeah, man. And then... December 23rd, you mentioned Yard Eagle you're playing. That's with Jacob Baxter and...
Jacob Baxter and Neil C. Luke, me and my brother and everything. We're going to be playing down at Livery for a holiday party, so that'll be pretty good. You know, coming, usher in Christmas and everything like that.
Yeah. And then on December 26th, South Broadway Athletic Club, this is a big old post-holiday show with Nick Gussman and Brother Francis and the Soul Tones.
Oh, yeah.
And that's Hunter Hamilton Group.
Yep, tonight. That's the Hunter Hamilton Group. We'll have the full band for that one. I'm really excited for that show. Yeah. Nick's another great songwriter that's really pushed me to write some good songs.
Two of my favorites in town for sure. They're both incredible acts to see. I told Nick, that Dear Hard Times record, like... It's so good, man. Like his songwriting, and I told him he's like one of my, you know, all time favorites. Not just St. Louis and stuff, but like that record really hit home for me and stuff. So
it's great. It's so good.
Yeah. So come out there if you don't know Nick Gussman and Brother Francis and the Soul Tones. You're gonna learn. It's gonna be a good time.
You're gonna learn real fast, man.
And then January 3rd, kicking off your 2020. You'll be back Yard Eagle at Venice Cafe.
Absolutely. That's going to be a big old time. We might even have some recordings or something special we've been working on to present over there. or we might not come out and see, you know, sure. one of those.
Yep. But you can get plugged in with everything Hunter Hamilton Group on Facebook and Instagram. You can find Yard Eagle updates on Facebook as well. Mm-hmm. And let's get involved to see what we got some things cooking here. So let's drop in another live acoustic jam. And this was a song called... the working title, we're going with yeah. No More Tears right now?
No More Tears. We'll go with that one. Yeah. I wrote it not too long ago and want to try it out.
Yeah. Now, how's this work for you? Like, is this like you just kind of get an idea you start with lyrics mostly, or does that already and figure out chords, or how do you, what's your process like?
It changes time to time for me. I've never been able to just sit down and write a song, you know, like usually for me, if I come in with the notion like, all right, like, well, I have to write this song, I'm going to do that, then whatever like muse you're trying to get in touch to, like, I feel like I force it too much and then the song's never good. So for me, it, like, I don't know, it can be like while I'm like jamming another song or during a gig, I'll have an idea on the way chords work, or I'll write, you know, a bunch of lyrics, and it just differs so much. Or I'll just sit down and like just start playing and write it in like 10 minutes, and then I like that a lot, but it doesn't always work like that.
Yeah, that's what I've heard, like, from a lot of people, like, those songs that you can write in 10 minutes are the ones, like, that are hits and, like, you know, just, like,
yeah.
It just catches you and it pours out and you got to keep up sometimes trying to write it down and stuff. And, like, but it's, those are sometimes rare, you know, it's hard to sometimes, but if you force it, then it's like, then it just, you lose it.
Yeah, know? then it sounds forced, you
right.
know.
Yeah.
It's one of those. So,
yeah. Well, I had a couple of questions I want to ask also, just, some random things to get a little more personality from you. And what's let's go with first celebrity crush. Is there somebody comes to mind?
Oh yeah. Let's see here. It was probably probably like Selena Gomez, I guess it'd be, or however you say her last name.
Sure.
Yeah, when I was growing up and stuff, she was like all over, you know, you couldn't get away from her, and I was like, man, like, that's a crush. I like her.
Oh yeah. That what's a song that always gets stuck in your head?
Oh man, there are a lot. I don't know, a lot of the early Beatles stuff, just because of the repetition and things of that sort, those get stuck in my head.
They're definitely catchy.
But maybe, I don't know, especially right now, maybe like Jingle Bells or something like that, you know? It's hard to get away from that one, yeah, man, I tell you.
'Tis the season.
Yeah, it is the season.
That's, how about something you've tried but will never do again?
Oh, If I cannot do it again, that would be preferred, but probably working in a kitchen. When I first got to St. Louis, I was doing that, and it was all right. I got free food and stuff like that, and I was working, you know, at a real great place, but gigs started picking up, and, like, I just didn't like that at all. It disinterests me, and I was, me and my band were actually playing Del Mar Hall earlier in the summer, yeah, and it was a day before we did that gig, and I was cutting something, I forget what it was, and gash my thumb open, and then had to get like 3 stitches in it or something like that, and then had to play the gig the next day, and that was terribly unfun. So that's definitely something that I gave it a good darn shot and won't do it again if I don't have to, you know?
Yeah, man. What's your strangest fear?
Mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise?
Yeah, there are only a couple of things in this world that scare me, and it's snakes and mayonnaise, probably. Yeah. I don't know why. I can't stand to look at it. Like,
do you ever watch Jackass? Did you ever watch those?
I sure did.
There was that guy on there, Raekyon, who was like afraid of mustard.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I thought of that when you said that, because like, I think they like spent like their whole like thing like trying to like cover him in mustard and stuff, because like he would like freak out about it and stuff. So,
well, that's funny. That's pretty funny.
Yeah, those guys were pretty silly.
yep.
What's a movie or TV show you wish you were in?
Oh man, I think it'd be cool to be in Sherlock Holmes. That would be sweet. That would be a lot of fun. Yeah. To be like an investigator, but like the older ones, you know?
So like just in to join them or not to replace one of them? Like, or
I'd have to replace Sherlock then. Yeah. It'd be a full thing.
Yeah. The Hamilton and Holmes.
Yeah, Hamilton Holmes, man. Still works.
Yeah, man. I don't know. I always like think about that. Like, even as like game shows and stuff, I think like I'm like, there's so many of those. Like, I would be fun to be a part of. You know, just I remember as a kid, I used to watch a ton of those like Nickelodeon ones, like Double Dare and stuff, and like that. And then I was like,
yeah,
man, that'd be fun to be a part of that someday. But
that would be, man. We need to start a rock paper game show.
Yeah, there you go.
That'd be cool.
That or even Price is Right or something. I mean, like spend so many mornings homesick from school watching that and stuff. And
yep, I feel that.
Yeah. Is there a song you wish you wrote?
Yes.
Yeah, you have one in particular?
There's a lot of them, but I'd say the one that comes to mind would be. Not to bring up Hendrix again, but it would be Bold as Love.
Okay.
That song's just so cool, man. The use of imagery, the way it's arranged, like, and even the title, Bold as Love, like, and it ends off his second album that he ever released. You know, he only released like 3 actual studio albums, but that song, just the way it sounds, the way it is, I don't know. That song's one of those that like really makes me feel something.
Yeah, man.
And a lot of envy towards that song, you know.
Sure. Yeah. It's definitely a good one, and then big shoes to try to fill, something like that. Like, I mean, he's one of the best, but it's all, like I said. I mean, I think it's cool that you have like people like that. You know, obviously we mentioned a bunch of greats names. You know, you have these people that you admire and you look up to and stuff, and like you bring all those pieces, then they make up Hunter Hamilton. You know, it's like you make your own, do your own thing with it and stuff. And you know, obviously not trying to be Hendrix out there or Donovan or Dylan or whatever, but you're just doing your own version of what. All that.
Yeah, just trying to see how weird they all sound mashed up, you know?
Sure,
and try to throw a little bit of me in there or something like that.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Well, that's, again, come on out to some of these shows. We got a lot of opportunities to come see Hunter, and hopefully we'll get that some of those recordings together soon, man. That'd be
that'd be cool.
I think it'd be great to hear some of the new band together, and
it's a real tight group. I'm very excited about it. It'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, man. Well, big thanks to Livery Company for letting us hang today. Come on down here and visit them on South Broadway. We got a lot of good music down here. I know Jacob's here like every Tuesday. And
yeah, tonight, as a matter of fact, yeah. I'm going to slip down and play after this. It'll be a good time.
Yep. And then we got all kinds of things. So keep an eye out for their calendar. Get plugged in and come on over.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much, Shane.
Man. Thank you, Hunter. This has been cool, man. I'm really glad we made this happen. And like I said, I look forward to seeing what's next for you guys. And I say we do this again very soon, my friend.
I would agree. All right.
All right. Thanks, buddy. Yep. Bye, everybody.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.